It's time for Ruth Moody. Ruth Moody, she was in Australia with her band in March. She's from Canada, and we've played her on the show before as part of the Wailing Jennies. But here she was solo with her band and with an album. We started today's show with the title track from These Wilder Things. And she sang for us a song from the album called Trouble and Woe.
This world is full of trouble and woe. All I see is trouble. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna see the trouble that I know. This world is full of sadness and tears. This world is full of sadness and tears. They fill us full of sadness and full of fear. I'm gonna see.
Thank you very much indeed. That was on today's music show, Ruth Moody, from her album These Wilder Things. That was the song Trouble and Woe. Ruth Moody was singing and playing the banjo. Sam Howard was singing and playing the bass. Adam Dobray was playing the guitar. And Adrian Dolan was playing the fiddle. Let's begin with Winnipeg. And growing up in Winnipeg, as you did, with essentially surrounded by classical music as far as your parents were able to kind of impose this on you, how did you go so wrong?
Good question. I mean, I love classical music and I really appreciate my upbringing, but something happened to me when I discovered folk music in my mid-teens. There was a real connection I felt with Celtic music in particular, and it was partly because it was well-suited to my voice, and at that time I was sort of realizing that I wasn't going to be an opera singer, that I didn't have that kind of big operatic voice. So, just finding that connection with folk music and traditional music and enjoying singing it so much was really what led me to this path. And
yeah.
My parents even approve today.
I'm sure they do. And what were you listening to then? What folk music were you hearing that sort of clicked with your voice?
Well, there's a singer by the name of Lorena McKennitt, which I'm sure many people know of. who is from Morden, which is very close to Winnipeg, and I was very inspired by this Manitoban going out and sort of carving her own niche and putting her own stamp on Celtic music. And so that was inspiring. But there was also a great folk festival in Winnipeg, or just on the outskirts of Winnipeg. And I started going when I was 14. And from that point on, my life changed, because it was just this whole new world of folk music and traditional music and rock music and pop music and world music. And it just really opened my eyes and ears. So every year I'd go back and soak up all this music. And yeah.
So having had your eyes and ears opened to everything now, how did you kind of narrow it down to this, you know, to the banjo, to the group, your singing?
Well, I guess there's been a bit of an evolution. I joined a Celtic band when I was 20, and that was me and five boys, and mostly I sang. I also played piano and taught myself the baron, the Irish drum. And but then I got into writing my own songs and really loved that idea, and then I co-founded the Waylon Jennies, my other band, which is still alive and well today. And so that was a really great outlet for me, for my writing and singing. The big focus is three-part harmony, so that kind of, in a way, brought me full circle, because I grew up singing with my two sisters, three-part harmony, so that was something I started to crave again in my mid-20s or so.
What about the songwriting? I mean, on this album, all but one of the songs are yours. Do you start in a particular place? I'm thinking, I suppose, mostly from a stylistic point of view, that there are certain parameters within which you write your songs.
I try not to think about it too much, because that can steer you wrong when your head gets in the way. But I am influenced by traditional forms, so I tend to write gospel songs because I love gospel music, or, you know, this last song that we played is inspired by the old-timey tradition with the clawhammer banjo and string band and what the guys are doing. And I sometimes write, you know, songs that are inspired by Celtic songs. I mean, I think I just, as anyone does, you hear these things and they start filtering into your creative process.
And the process is what? I mean, is it voice-led, the writing process?
It really depends. Sometimes it's just words and nothing to do with those traditional genres. Sometimes I'm just writing as therapy and getting my thoughts and feelings out on the page and working through something. And then a melody will come, or I'll play around on the guitar or the piano. And if I trust the process, then something will come out of it.
And the title song, These Wilder Things, has a line from John O'Donohue, the poet, I will waste my heart on fear no more. Was that your starting point? Did you build the song around that, or leading up to it? Because it's kind of the climax of the song, isn't it?
It's true. I remember when I read that poem being very struck by that line, and I still think about it a lot. It's sort of a mantra for me. I can't remember, actually. I think it came later. It was sort of the one of the last pieces of the puzzle for that song.
And it fitted.
It did. It did. Yeah, it was perfect.
And arrangements, maybe we could talk about those, Ruth Moody, because again, on that song that I just mentioned, These Wilder Things, is a beautiful brass arrangement. Are these things that are there in your mind as you write the song, does it come a long time after and you think, what this needs is a little brass consort?
Well, that I can't, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes I have a vision for a song as I'm writing it, or as I'm, you know, it's getting to performance stage. But that brass arrangement, I can't take credit for. That was my producer's idea, and he's a trumpet player and horn player, and he did that. And yeah, it was just the perfect, a beautiful piece for that song.
Right. So your problem in working with him is probably trying to keep the brass off the other tracks.
he's very, very modest, and so he really holds himself back from adding brass to things on records. But I think even he knew that would be a good addition.
Well, it gives it a sort of hymn-like quality, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, it harkens back to something. I mean, it's kind of like English brass band, but but also has a sort of a emotional quality to it. I can't even really describe it, but it really was perfect for that kind of sort of anthemic, hymn-like feeling that we needed for that song. Mm. Yeah, about sort of just letting go and letting the heart speak.
You talked about working with the Wailing Jennies with this continuing collaboration, and we've played Wailing Jennies on the music show. You haven't mentioned Mark Knopfler, who's the other person you've been working with.
Yeah. Well, we've been very, very lucky and honored to work with Mark. We're actually heading back to Europe soon to open some more shows for him and his band, which we're really looking forward to. I guess the way that started is he got in touch with me a few years ago while I was touring in the UK. I guess he got wind of that fact and asked me if I would sing on his record that he was recording, which turned out to be Privateering. And so I did, and then I got bold and asked him to play and sing on mine, which he did. And then recently I sang on his new record, which is coming out next month, which is called Tracker.
Okay, well, we'll keep an ear out for that. I mentioned that all of these songs but one were composed by Ruth Moody. The one is a Bruce Springsteen song. Do we know what he thinks about your version of Dancing in the Dark?
No, we haven't heard from him about it. So who knows if he's heard it or not.
Okay, all right. Well, while you transform yourselves into the E Street Band for Dancing in the Dark, thank you very much indeed for being on the music show.
Thanks for having us.
One, two, three, four. Got nothing to say, come home in the morning. I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire, you can't start a fire. Dancing in the dark. Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. I wanna change my clothes, my hair and my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere. Living in a dump like this, there's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know that there is. I can't start a fire, you can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Shake this world off your shoulders. Oh, come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Stay on the streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up all right. They say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just about starving tonight. Looking for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a love reaction. Come on, baby, give me just one look. You can't start a fire sitting around crying over a broken heart. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark. You can't start a fire worrying about your little world falling apart. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark. Dancing in the dark.
Springsteen's song Dancing in the Dark, sung by Ruth Moody with her band Sam Howard, Adam Dobre and Adrian Dolan. That was on the music show back in March, and it was videoed. And if you go to the music show's website, you can see what you've just heard.